Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CacheFly.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 91, recorded on June 29th, 2010. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators. I'm Michael Johnston, and we're here to talk about the iPhone, the iPod Touch, the iPad, iOS 4, and everything in between. With me today is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Yeah, good, except I have no bars.
Oh, you're holding it the wrong way.
I'm joking.
You're holding the podcast wrong.
Oh, I got to take my hand off the mic.
Yep.
That was it.
Jeff Gamet's here from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Michael. As always, great to be here. And I have to say, though, I was just a little disappointed. I was really hoping you'd have a fun little catchphrase to kick off the show with.
Like, load your... What was it? Set your...
Crap, what was it?
Load your iPhone torpedoes.
Load your iPhone torpedo tubes and get ready for the show or something like that.
Yeah, do that. They're loaded. They're ready to go.
All right.
Barry Folk is here. Hey, Barry.
How you doing?
Great. It's good to have you. Barry's actually in studio in the office.
Really there.
Yeah. In the palatial offices of Mr. Michael Johnston.
Yep. And so he's on Skype, even though he's in the other room. Because this is how my setup works, because I don't have a spot for another mic, I guess. But it's great to have you. And so we're going to talk about the iPhone 4 and all that wonderful stuff. But before that, I would like to share... Should I save this for the end or for the beginning? Do I want to talk about my iPhone, my Find My iPhone story?
Oh, sure.
I'm clueless. What happened?
Okay. So on Sunday, I and my friend Omar went to Six Flags, Great America, and we were riding the Superman... And,
oh no!
And it flew out of my pocket.
Oh, Adam, sorry. It gets better.
It gets so much better. Yeah. So I didn't realize it until some guy who was sitting in the other spot said something about someone losing a phone, and oh, it was a good phone too. I'm like, who lost their phone? And then I checked my pocket when we got off.
Which pocket was this in? Was this like a shirt pocket, or was this like your pants pocket?
Pants pocket, where I always have it, in the iPhone pocket. Designated iPhone pocket.
Oh, my Lord.
So, well, I was wearing khaki shorts, which I don't usually wear. I usually wear blue jeans, and so it usually stays in there. So it slipped out on the... And I don't know if you're familiar with the Superman. That's the one that actually you sit down in it, and then it tilts you forward, so you're facing down to the ground like Superman would.
Oh, that's... So see, it's different at our...
This is East Coast Superman, not West Coast Superman.
Yeah, this is a different ride than the Superman ride here on the West Coast.
Okay. But yeah, so we get there and I realize I don't have my phone. I let them know that, I lost it. And they're like, well, yeah, we do a track walk toward the end of the night. And so you can pick it up at guest services when you toward the end of the night after we do the track walk, but that I should fill out a report. So from there, Omar and I walked to, because he didn't have 313. The Find My iPhone app is required to have 313, supposedly.
Really? Okay.
So Six Flags has this cyber cafe thing. So they have computers while you're at Six Flags, which is just weird. But went there, logged into MobileMe on Internet Explorer and verified that my iPhone was alive. And so I sent a lock and a lock command and a message saying, hey, you know, this belongs to Michael Johnston. Call this number or, you know, give it back to guest services. And I saw where it was and that it was in an area that was inaccessible to the public. So I figured, no big deal. Someone's going to find it on the track walk and it's going to be an employee. So they'll turn it in.
Oh, man. I'm just thinking, you know, if someone got pelted in the head with an iPhone.
Just instant death.
iPhone's falling from the sky. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. Was it an iPhone 4 or your...
It's my 3GS.
Okay.
Yeah. So we went and did, you know, enjoyed the rest of the day. And I figured, you know, they're not going to stop the ride. So toward the end of the night, I checked the find my iPhone. So what I did with Omar's phone, because he's on 312, there's actually a jailbreak thing because he jailbreaks too. To just fake out your phone and say that it's 313 to just change like a plist or something. So that's all that was required. Downloaded Find My iPhone app and we were able to track it. And so at some point toward the end of the day, we saw that it had moved from the spot underneath the ride to the station at the ride. So I figure, okay, someone picked it up. We're good. You know, I'll be able to get it a little later. So we were going to go to another ride toward the end of the night instead of the Superman. So the last ride of the night was going to be kind of across the park. And so around 10:30, we got to the ride, Superman, and said, hey, you know, we tracked the phone over to the station. I dropped it on the track and they said, oh, was it a white iPhone with a white case? Oh, yeah, we saw that. And they started looking and they couldn't find it. And so we pulled up the Find My iPhone and saw that it was moving from Superman to another part of the park. And so I was like, hey, do you think someone's like taking it to the lost and found? And they're like, no, that seems to be the direction of the employee parking lot. And so I eventually, at some point, I drew enough attention that I had several security people around me, and they were all like, what is going on with this phone that it's not here? Because we saw it. And so one of the security guards took us through the back way of the park, and like we got in his truck and went over to the employee parking lot. And by that time, just as we were pulling up, the Find My iPhone thing updated and showed it being driven away, like out of the park. So at that point, the security guard couldn't help us any further. So we're like, okay, if you can drop us at the car, we'll go after him. Right. And so we started driving. The signal was kind of spotty. It wasn't updating, you know, every 5 seconds, which is good because I don't want to run down the battery. And at some point, it just stopped updating. And where the last time it updated was just some random intersection. So we decided to go home. And at around 1 in the morning, the iPhone did update itself. It looked like at a house, but we were already back in Rockford. So went home around 3 a.m. before I went to sleep, you know, with terrible I can't find my iPhone dreams. I saw again that it was at the same place. So I figured, okay, it's at the dude's house. He's got it there and we'll be able to figure it out from there tomorrow. So next day, drive out there with Omar cause he has the Find My iPhone thing. And, we decided we called the local authorities before we drove out and they said, we'll do a standby for you. So we'll have an officer, with you to make sure nothing
right
bad goes down. And so we get out there and call, say, hey, we need an officer. And they're like, okay, whatever, for a cell phone, you know? Right. And so about 5 minutes after we get off the phone, the signal actually updates. And it had been like 12 hours since it had updated. And it was like 45 minutes north of there. So I just decided I'm not going to wait for the cops because they could be another hour from now because it's just right. A cell phone and they don't care. So we just drive, go up there, and it seems to be staying at this one house. And so we finally get up there, call the local police, have them come out. I explain the whole thing. We go up to the door, and the officer, I don't think he understood exactly what happened. So he goes, hey, were either of you at Six Flags? As if he's like the fun police or something. Like, fun police, were you guys having fun yesterday? And but she's like totally freaked out. And she's like, well, we tracked an iPhone here. And so we know that it's here. And where is it? And she goes, well, I just bought this iPhone. And she goes back and brings it up. And sure enough, she purchased my iPhone from some young, she said, punk kid. And she met in like a park or something.
Off Craigslist or something?
No, she said she was just down in that area. And
it was like, hey, you want to buy an iPhone?
He said, do you know anybody who wants an iPhone? She goes, I do. So, yeah, she bought it for like $180, but the passcode lock, I wasn't really sure how that worked entirely. I thought it was just almost a superficial thing, so you couldn't use the phone part. Right. But what I didn't realize was if you have a passcode lock, you can't even sync your phone to another computer unless it's the computer that you sync with.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So the I tried it. I plugged it into someone else's computer after I realized that. It just says iTunes could not connect because it is locked with a passcode. You must enter the passcode before it can be used with iTunes. And if you enter the passcode too many times incorrectly, the phone will just lock itself. It just disables itself. You can't even keep trying the passcode after 10 tries, and you have to plug it in to
There's a setting for that, isn't there?
No, well,
there's a setting so that if you go 10 times, it'll entering the right passcode, it wipes it too.
Yeah. I didn't have that enabled, thankfully. So it was just sitting there with her SIM card in it. I guess she hadn't done anything with it, but it was on Wi-Fi, so it was able to keep sending me information, and yeah, I got it back. So we're but in the meantime, thanks to Jeff's great tips, I was taking screenshots as, you know, stuff was going down to make sure that, like, if the phone stopped tracking, I would still have an idea of where
like
it might
a record.
Be. Yeah. So I printed off the screenshots of the iPhone being at the dude's house at like 1 a.m. and then again at 3:30 a.m. So it was pretty obvious that that's, you know, the general area of where the dude lives. And we know that he works at Six Flags. So I just gave those properties.
And we know he'll be unemployed soon.
Yep. So that guy's looking for a job.
That's like the story. I just was reading a story too. An Apple employee had a bunch of stuff stolen from their house and they tracked it with his, you know, they tracked his iPad or something with the Find My iPhone thing and caught the dudes.
Yeah, it's just, it's the best thing ever. Mobile Me totally paid for itself right then.
Well, okay, so what I want to know now is how did the phone survive the drop from the ride?
Oh, yeah, that's like, that's almost better than finding it. Because, so
because everybody's like, oh, I dropped it from 4 feet and it totally shattered.
No, it flew out of one of the most intense rides at Six Flags. Yeah, so I don't know how it landed or where it landed, but it's in an in-case slider. There's a big gnarly crack on the in-case on the top right corner.
Did it still have the case on it when she handed it back to you?
So it's pretty clear that this guy moves phones quickly, because as we were looking for mine, it was very obvious that there were crates of cell phones at Six Flags. Just, you know, being lost, having been lost.
Wow.
Yep. So, yeah. I'm probably going to write up a lengthy post on, you know, everything that went down as soon as we figure out, you know, if it was a Six Flags employee or whatever.
Well, considering that it was taken from one of the booths that employees have access to, went to the employee parking lot,
right,
and left from there, that's pretty damning evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't take any screenshots of it going to the employee parking lot, but several security guards at Six Flags, you know, they were the ones who said, oh, yeah, that's the employee parking lot.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious what happened.
Yep, yep.
And that was even after you filed a report, so it was already known that you had lost this phone on the ride.
Yeah, I filed the report right away.
So that's pretty brazen.
Well, and by brazen, I think you mean stupid.
Well, the report—he didn't know that a report had been filed.
But he should. He should just. Okay, here's the deal: most criminals are really stupid.
Well, yeah,
and
exactly.
So they do stupid things like steal stuff. And it'll end up biting him in the ass.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if I hadn't have been able to track the phone as it moved along, even if this girl saw that it was someone else's phone and like called me and was like, hey, I think I have your phone, I think it was stolen, we would have never been able to find the guy. But because of Find My iPhone, we're almost definitely going to catch the dude.
Here's the one thing that you did really right in this story, and I was glad to hear you say it, because my concern with Find My iPhone has always been that, okay, forget stupid criminal, stupid person who lost their iPhone that they love, chasing it down and confronting who knows who and what kind of person, you know, right. that they have your iPhone. So, I mean, at least you had the smart sense to have the authorities there, get the authorities there before you just walked up to a random door and said, hey, give me back my iPhone.
Yeah.
I fear the day when we get the story of someone, you know, getting seriously injured or killed because they go after their stolen iPhone.
Yeah. And that's, see, when the phone led us to a random intersection, we thought, all right, let's look around and see if there's a spot that looks like it could be a house. And we saw one like really shady looking house. And I'm like, even if this is where my iPhone is, it's not worth getting killed.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. If you are in a situation where you're tracking your iPhone and you think you know where it is, you know, call the local authorities. Don't, you know, if you can avoid calling 911, call the local
office number. No, don't call 911. Yeah.
And unfortunately in Spring Grove, Illinois, they close at 4:00. So I did have to call and say, hey, this is a non-emergency. And they were totally cool about it.
Yeah. Okay. So you did the right thing there too, because you when you had to call 911, you let them know immediately, this isn't emergency. And then if they have something else that really is an emergency, they can put you on hold and get back to you. So
right. Yeah.
That was smart too.
Yep. Yeah. So, well, yeah.
Awesome story.
Mm-hmm.
Quite the excellent adventure.
Yeah, it was a great adventure too. So yeah, if you have a friend who has an iPhone, or just, you know, put the Find My iPhone app on your phone. And if someone comes up to you and like, hey, you have an iPhone, I lost mine. Instant adventure.
So there that's you go. Right. So the moral of the story is, hey, all you iPhone owners out there, buddy up.
Exactly. I wouldn't have been able to find it if it wasn't for Omar coming with. For sure. All right. So moving into the news of the week. iPhone 4 is out. Most of us have one. I don't have one. Jeff and Adam and Barry, I think you all have them, right?
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
Great. Okay. So they've been delivered. 1.7 million have been sold, which is, according to Apple, the most successful launch they've ever had.
Isn't it funny how each iPhone launch is the most successful launch they've ever had?
What was that?
Each iPhone launch has been the most successful launch they've ever had.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was something like 1 million of the 3GS was sold in the first weekend. Or was it?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. And it took 74 days for the original iPhone to move that many. So, very significant. When I went out to the Apple store where I did have a reserved iPhone and decided not to get one right away, because there was no white one for me to play with.
No white one for you to throw off the Superman ride.
Exactly, yeah. there was still a line there for people with pre-orders, like at 8 p.m. And AT&T, actually, they didn't have the iPhone 4 available for just general walk-ins until today, actually, which is the 29th.
Right.
Yeah, and did any of you guys go out there to see? Well, were there any interesting stories from the lines or purchasing the iPhone 4 from any of you guys?
Well, I thought I was going to be clever by trying to go around the Apple process by going to Radio Shack, because they were trying to do the pre-orders this year. And there's a small Radio Shack by my house. I'm like, oh, cool. I talked to the manager. He was really nice, and I was really kind of surprised. So he's like, I'll get to the store early on the 15th. And sure enough, he got there like an hour early. I'm the only person there. I'm like, this is going to be fantastic. Checks my eligibility, says, no problem. I'll put in the orders later. Well, apparently, at least here in Illinois, they were told to put in the orders starting at noon. And obviously, by this time, AT&T is already having their meltdown. He told me that he got my order in at 1:18, but for whatever reason, Radio Shack was shutting down their orders at 1:15.
Oh, ouch.
But he said he got me a PIN number. He's like, don't worry, we're going to have a call later. I'll figure this all out. And, you know, he just, something didn't strike right with me. So I went online as my backup plan, and I ordered on the Apple online store. But it took me like, I don't know, 10 tries. And even then, it errored out. But it moved me to the next screen finally. I'm like, well, I wasn't really sure. Until I finally got the reminder email. I think it was, about 2 or 3 days before they were sending those out. So right. I'm like, all right, I feel pretty good that I'll be at the Apple store. And sure enough, the Radio Shack manager on the 23rd calls me and goes, Barry, got some bad news. We are not getting any in.
So it was was it just Apple stores that got the pre-order stuff? Besides it, so there's AT&T that got pre-orders. Apple got pre-order phones.
Best Buy did.
Okay, Best Buy got those.
Very limited quantities, yeah. Right. And I think Walmart did as well. If I'm not mistaken, or Walmart had them the next day.
Were they pre-order or general walk-in?
They were just general walk-in.
Okay, yeah, so it was only walk-in. AT&T that didn't get walk-in phones.
Right. Well, see, technically every phone that Best Buy got was a walk-in phone.
Oh, yeah,
right.
That's true. Yeah.
Because the way they were doing their system for pre-orders, and I'm doing air quotes.
Right.
Yeah, $50 and they give you a gift card and put your name on a list.
Yeah, and it was still first come, first serve, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, weird. Okay.
Yeah, I went into Radio Shack yesterday by my house because it's just right next to my grocery store, and I thought I'll walk in and I'll see if they even have phones. And because no one was around, every time I walk in, poor Radio Shack, every time I walk in there, it's, you know, chirp, chirp, and the person like comes in from the back when they hear the door ding and like, can I help you?
Yeah. Are you in the right store?
and I said, do you have any iPhones? And she said, no, we should be getting them tomorrow. Which I have a feeling is if I walked in tomorrow, it'd be, we should
it'll be tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So I left my order in just to see if they ever actually do call me and tell me it's available.
Yeah.
So it seems that the iPhone 4 is, according to early benchmarks anyway, significantly faster than the 3GS, but slower than the iPad. I don't think we figured out how fast the iPhone 4's A4 chip is.
I heard it was a gigahertz.
I think it's
the same chip.
But, yeah. You know, it's interesting to see that the iPhone 4 has twice as much RAM, the same CPU, but it's still slower than the iPad. But it's faster. It's 31% faster, according to Geekbench, than the iPhone 3GS.
So let's translate this, though, because, you know, define faster. I always go these numbers. They go 31% faster. Well, what is 31% to a real human being? And for me personally, I don't notice, like, speed was not the one thing I noticed when I picked up the phone and went, oh, this is way faster than my 3GS. Not like I did when I went from my 2G phone to my 3GS, which was like, oh my God, this is incredibly, you know, this is a whole different phone.
Right.
In terms of speed. And I didn't notice that. I don't know about Jeff or Barry.
No, I went from a 3G to the 4, and it was like you going from the original to the 3GS.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Holy crap, I have a turbo phone.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, the weird slowdowns that you'd sometimes see with the 3GS seem to all have gone away.
All the weird lags everywhere and stuff like that.
And some of the apps, like the Auto Stitch app that I use with photos, that one is really quick.
Yeah, so maybe I just don't use that intensive of apps or anything. I didn't notice like things were launching faster or flipping through screens was that dramatically faster. Just the general usage was not perceptibly faster than my 3GS. The one thing I noticed instantaneously, and I will never be able to go back to another phone now, is the screen. And thank God, because, you know, since it can't make phone calls, all you can really do is look at the screen. But it's beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
Speaking of the phone call things, so what I did when mine was activated, I was still in the Apple Store. I downloaded Twitter so that I could start tweeting about it. Sent out a text message so that I could just look at the text and drool over it. And then I made a phone call right in the middle of the Apple Store. And so the person I called said, "Where are you?" Because they knew I was out doing live coverage. And I said, "I'm standing in the middle of a Flatiron Crossing Apple Store." And they said, "Really? Because it sounds like you're standing alone outdoors, maybe in a park, and there's no one around."
Yeah, I noticed that when I talked to you the other day, that it was you were outside in some windy area, right?
Yeah, I was in a open space like a wildlife preserve near my house, and it was kind of breezy, and there were birds just all around me, all just chattering at each other.
I couldn't hear that at all. It was very clear, even when you were pizza phoning too. It sounded great.
And so I don't get a bunch of emails. I'm joking about the the cell coverage. I have not noticed any difference in the cell coverage, even with the antenna issues, which I'm sure we're going to get into.
Yeah.
I have not dropped calls because of that. I've dropped calls because of the other problem, which is the proximity sensor thing.
Have face mute.
I have face mute or face hang up the phone.
Yeah. I haven't heard of this.
Yeah, okay. So some people are having an issue with the proximity sensor where they put the phone up to their face and the proximity sensor isn't registering that it's next to their face. So it leaves the touch surface active. So when the phone touches their cheek or their jaw, whatever, it presses buttons, which can be the mute or the end call button.
Wow, yeah.
And let me clarify that, at least in my experience, because I've been, since it started happening, I've been trying to pay much more attention to it. For me, what it seems to be is that I put it up to my face, the sensor goes on. If I need to do something, so oftentimes I'll put the phone, you know, and you put it in the crux of your shoulder, it seems to be that it's just too sensitive, which means it's probably a good thing because I think they can tweak it in software where the screen comes back on too soon. So if I get it just a little bit away from my face, the screen comes back on.
Oh,
so I think they just need to adjust the sensitivity of the sensor so that, you know, you can have a quarter of an inch away and it still keeps the screen off. So what's happening is I'm lifting it away for just a brief second. It's coming on for a second. And then before it can turn back off, as I bring it back into my face, it's hitting a button.
Okay.
So that seems to be what it is to me, because as long as I just hold it really tight, I don't have the problem. As long as I keep it held to my face, you know, and I don't have to like press it in or anything, but just keep it close, I don't have the issue. But if I let it drift away or I get lazy or get tired, that's usually when it's triggering.
Huh. Well, it does sound like a software issue then. If it does work at some point,
and it might just be that it's activating too slowly too.
Yeah, you know,
it could be there's too long of a lag before it shuts the screen off. I don't know. One of those two things, but I think it's fixable in software, at least that issue. And that's the only place I'm having dropped calls. I'm not having any call issues, even when it, you know, I have it covered and it's one bar, the bar thing. For me, it's like Steve Jobs is saying, it's, you know, it's not the bars, it's the call still seems to maintain.
Okay, well, let's get right into that because we're talking about it anyway. So if you're not aware of it, which I'd be very surprised if you aren't, the iPhone 4 seems to be suffering from odd signal issues where particularly if you hold it in the, hold the bottom left?
Yes.
Yes.
If you cup that in your hand, or if you get it close to your hand, or some people are saying if you bridge the connection between that little black, or across that little black separator between the two antennas, that you'll get significantly diminished reception, or in some cases just a dropped call entirely. And so I don't have an iPhone 4. Has anyone experienced this firsthand?
Okay, so I have not been able to replicate this myself, and I tried several iPhones in the Flatiron Crossing Apple Store. I've tried with my iPhone several times. I've handed my iPhone to several different people to let them try, and no one's been able to do it until this afternoon. One of my friends, when they hold my iPhone, we can just sit there and watch the signal strength bars drop down, 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 down. They let go of the phone, boom, 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 goes back up. So I have one friend that can make my iPhone do it. No one else can, and I can't do it on any of the iPhones that I've tried.
I can replicate it pretty easily, especially if I got the bumper case. If I take the bumper off and do the bridge, the gap, so hold my finger right on that black line, I can watch it drop down. What I can't replicate is where it drops to zero, you know, where it says no service. And again, I don't notice a diminish in call quality. It's more just the bars are going down. So I can certainly replicate that. The funny thing is I could, when this started popping up, because the iPhones were out a couple days early, I tried it with my 3GS, and I can do the same thing. If I cover the bottom area where the antenna is, I can replicate the same dropping, and I even posted a YouTube video of it happening on my 3GS.
Oh,
yeah, and people have noted that you can do it on a Nexus One, you can do it on The difference with the iPhone 4 is that I think because the antenna's exposed and it's there, it seems to happen much quicker. The dropping of the bars happens much more quickly.
Okay.
With my 3GS, I really have to, you know, put the meat part of the thumb, the fleshy part of a thumb part of my hand over the lower left corner and really kind of cover up the where the antenna is. And then it's just my hand blocking the signal, basically, is what's happening. And everybody, you know, all the scientists seem to say that, yeah, that's normal. I mean, your body is just like a big bag of water, and it's like just covering and blocking the antenna signal.
Yeah. The strange thing about it, when I first heard this issue, I thought, oh, duh, that's how all cell phones are. And, you know, I read a manual in my, you know, 5-year-old flip phone a long time ago when I had it. It said, you know, you don't want to hold it in certain ways because you'll block reception. And I said, okay, that makes sense. And since then, every iPhone I've ever had, I've experienced that. If I'm in an area with low signal, that is. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in my house or in my office, the two places I spend most of my time, they're both constructed like bunkers. So right outside the door, I get 5 bars, and inside it's just like nothing. So if I'm inside, I'm just accustomed to, you know, holding it with just a little, you know, just several fingers instead of holding the entire back of the phone with my hand to get reception. But it seems like, and I tried Barry's phone out front of the office where I usually get about 5 bars, and there's definitely a difference between the 3GS and the 4, where I would probably get 5 bars out front. His phone didn't get 5 bars when I was out there, but as soon as I covered it up, the bars did go down. I don't think I got a no service.
Well, that's interesting too, because I am kind of buying the, because I have my iPad, right? I have been out and about with my iPad, and I am buying the claim that in general the signal quality, when it's not blocked, when you're not, you know, repeating the sort of grip of death behavior, if you just set the two devices by each other and you're in an area, the iPad might have 3 bars where the iPhone has 5. So it seems to pick up signals better, at least in my
the iPhone
usage
4 does
so far. The iPhone 4, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think mine's doing better with signal strength too.
Right. But it is more susceptible to this interference. And I think, again, because you're just closer to, especially when you bridge that gap for me. I mean, bridging the gap every time, I can set one finger between those two antennas and it'll just start dropping bars.
Now, when you hold it just as a human would hold a phone,
it's fine. That's the thing, is I think a lot of people are really blowing this way out of proportion. And I think, again, you have to come back to what is real world usage. Are you really, when you normally hold the phone and you're not trying to force it to drop bars, is it dropping calls? And yeah, there have been some reports of that. I think if you're in an area where there's really iffy signals, it might be more susceptible. And it's something Apple's going to have to deal with. I'm not trying to minimize the issue for the people that are being impacted. It's annoying. If you can't make calls, it's a phone. It's a freaking phone. It needs to make calls. I understand,
I agree,
the frustration.
That's part of the reason I'm not getting it right now, is to see what
happens with this. Overall, I think it's being blown way out of proportion in terms of the real world impact of this.
Yeah, Barry, have you noticed any drop calls from this issue?
No, it's actually been really solid, but like you were saying, I've noticed the bars go up and down a lot more than my 3GS ever did, but the quality seems to be better or the same.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. You know, an interesting situation that I did not observe firsthand is that I have a friend's house that I frequent quite a bit, and I can always get 5 bars at his house, absolutely all the time inside, no matter what. It's great download speed. It's just because he's right near an antenna. So according to him, he had a friend over who had an iPhone 4, and he said, oh yeah, I have the iPhone 4 and it has that crazy antenna issue. And he demonstrated it for everybody, showing, you know, 5 bars on there, and he just held it with that spot in his hand, and it went down like 3 bars right away. So it was explained to me, and this may, I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but that it might be that the iPhone 4 is going to the tower that doesn't necessarily have the best signal, but has the fewest users on it.
That's correct. That's supposedly a change in iOS 4, which might also be why it was replicatable on my iPhone 3GS, which was upgraded to iOS 4. That they're going after the best quality signal, not necessarily the strongest signal.
Interesting. So that was reported, though. That's been found in the operating system, or is it speculative still?
I think Apple announced that change.
Oh, okay.
I think developers might have leaked it. But yes, one way or another, that information came out.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and so that was one of the theories, too, was that maybe it might be fixable in software, because there was some theory that the jumping of the bars that you're seeing, which I agree with Barry, I've totally seen it jumping bars more, is it's for some reason too slow to switch, to make that switch. So it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe being wishy-washy about, okay, what's the best signal? And it's slowly switching, and it's in that switching process that the bars are going fluctuating.
But so has anyone experienced drop calls or more frequent drop calls? I'm not sure.
I have not.
My face hang up.
Okay.
Feature.
Huh.
Yeah.
What about the iPhone screen discoloration? Has anybody seen that?
Non-issue.
I have not seen it, but it sounds like that's an issue where the adhesive material that's used to bond the glass to the LCD has kind of a yellow cast to it while it cures.
Yeah, so people are seeing, or were seeing, may not anymore, yellow spots, very faintly visible yellow spots on their iPhone screens. But many people have reported that it just goes away after 24 or 48 hours.
Right, which is what's supposed to happen.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was only in that very first early batch, too.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
It was just like they were getting there. They were coming from the factory too fast.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting was when I got my iPhone at the Apple store, the Apple guy actually checked that for my phone. He bumped the brightness all the way up just to make sure it was looking good, to make sure I wouldn't have any problems.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That was very cool.
Yeah. So the, Steve Jobs says there's actually a fantastic, set of posts from Fake Steve about how he's, the tactics they're using to confuse everybody into thinking that there's no problem. It's just, check out fakesteve.net. I love Fake Steve. But anyway, the real Steve has been saying that it's a non-issue, or that there is no issue. Stay tuned. And that's the most recent one past the official release, which was that there's no problem, or if you're having a problem, then use a bumper case. Which is interesting, saying that there's no problem, even though they're saying if there is a problem.
Yeah. Here's the interesting thing about the case. In my personal experience, I have the bumper, and all it does for me is slow the signal loss. It makes it basically like my iPhone 3GS.
Yeah,
was.
That makes sense.
So if I cover the area with any kind of, you know, meaty part of my hand, it will go down still, even with the bumper case on, just like a normal phone. So it's just the direct contact makes it happen quicker. Case is going to slow it. But again, it never drops signal. And I haven't talked to very many people who have said, I'm getting dropped signals because of the antenna issue. So there you go.
Has anybody seen a bumper that's not black yet?
I saw a picture of a white one. It looks really nice.
Yeah, I've seen a white one. But not personally. Someone sent me a photo of their iPhone with a white bumper.
Do you guys want to talk about the bumper case? Because I just saw it on Barry's phone, and I was surprised. It seemed when they announced it that the bumper case was just like rubber, and that was it, and it would just go around the edge. But it's actually plastic, rubber, and the button portions are metal.
Yeah, it's quite nice, actually. I actually kind of like it, and I don't like cases, and I just wanted something. This is another issue, and I think this is going to be a real issue for Apple.
Thanks.
I don't care how strong and they say the glass is, glass breaks, and now you've just doubled the odds that you're going to break your glass. It's got glass on the back, it's got glass on the front, and I find it interesting that I think iFixit or somebody alluded that the back glass might not be the same strength of glass as the front glass, and every cracked glass that I've seen is the back glass. I think Andy Anatko accidentally dropped his phone, his review phone, and the back glass cracked.
Oh, so weird. You'd think that they would make the back glass maybe tougher than the front, almost.
Well, it might be because it's maybe cheaper, easier to replace. I don't know. But I don't, anybody who's listened to me podcasting knows I don't like cases on my phone. So the bumper was seemed like a nice compromise, but I still might get something more because I'm not convinced that this little 16th of an inch ridge is really going to protect the glass, especially if it gets dropped on asphalt. You know, that's kind of rocky.
Yeah, or if you're me, and you can chuck it out of a Superman and
Superman, right? Yeah, so I worry about this phone more in terms of durability more than any other one that I've had. I mean, when it's got a plastic back or a metal back, you know, it's going to get dented or scratched, but it's not going to, you know, shatter. This has the odds to shatter.
Okay, so I'm looking at the back of mine now, and I knew that they took the capacity markings off the back, so it doesn't say 62 gig and 32 gig anymore. And I'm looking at, and I just realized there's no serial number stamped on the back anymore.
Yeah, there was no one.
It's totally a generic back. So maybe that plays into the whole thing of they're expecting they might have to replace the back more than the front. So if there's no markings on them, they only need to make one kind of back and you're done.
Right. Yeah. Interesting.
And it comes off pretty easily from what I understand too. It's sort of like rumors I've been reading.
You have to take out those two screws.
And then it just kind of pops off.
And then it pops off.
Yeah.
And then they charge you $100 for it or something.
Right.
Right.
But the good news is that, I mean, if it's really that easy, the third parties will come in and to compete with that, and you would assume that hopefully it's going to be cheaper. But
or
someone's going to design a new back, a plastic back, to replace the one that Apple has.
That would be cool.
I would probably recommend a case.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking a case is going to be a good idea, although I prefer holding this phone without a case. And so I'll try out a bunch of cases. But it's going to be, it better be a really, really good case for me to decide to leave a case on.
Well, or until that first time you drop it and it shatters, and then you'll pay your $100 fee and then get a case.
Right, right. It's like you know me.
Yeah, I'm waiting for InCase to come out with a slider. Because that's my favorite case.
Well, we know the one you have right now is pretty durable.
Yeah, that's what I have as an in-case slider. So they actually did announce that they're working on a new set of cases, which doesn't come as any surprise. But did you guys hear that a law firm is actually getting ready? KCR in Sacramento is pulling information from various users to seemingly get ready for a class action lawsuit for the iPhone 4 signal stuff.
Of course, new device, new lawsuit.
Take a week.
Yeah, I know.
Already working on a lawsuit.
Oh, you know, these guys were prepping it before the phone came out.
Yeah. I would say now it's going to be pre lawsuits. They'll just like, oh, Apple's coming out with a new device. Let's write up a dummy lawsuit and we'll be ready.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the sad thing is they probably could do just that. And then when the device comes out, they wait for the first thing that looks like a big issue on Twitter, and then they do find and replace, and put that word in and go.
Yep. All right.
You know, Apple has a 30 day return policy or 15 day return policy. Take it back. They'll give you your money back.
Well, there's a restocking fee though.
Okay.
But you don't have to keep the phone if you don't want to.
That's true. Yeah. All right. So we have more to talk about. We have stuff to talk about with Hulu. Hulu has something for the iPhone and iPad and a bunch of other stuff. But before we do that, we have to talk about our sponsor, which is Citrix with GoTo Assist Express. If you haven't tried it yet, this is time to do it. Go to assist.com/Allie. You can try it free for 30 days. And if you don't know what it is, I will tell you now. So if you are listening to this podcast, you are probably one of the more techie people in your family or friends' lives. And you probably get those calls saying, hey, how do I how do I get iTunes to do, how do I get it to convert to MP3? Or how do I do this thing on Google Maps or something like that? Or I have a problem on my computer. How do I, you know, how do I fix this? I'm having a weird issue. Well, it would help to be at their computer, but most likely they're calling you and you don't particularly want to go over to their house that may be, you know, hundreds of miles away, thousands of miles away. So the way to really get in there and fix it isn't really, you know, you don't want to talk to them on the phone. It'd be easier to control their computer. So that's what GoToAssist Express allows you to do, is remotely access their computer. You can see what's running in the background. You can see all the installed applications. You can see the entire hardware profile. It's Mac and PC. You can remotely control a PC from your Mac or the other way around. 128-bit SSL encryption, so it's very secure. And you can do up to 8 sessions at once. So if you do tech support for a living, it's very cool. If you know, if you're maybe at a school or an institution that you have to manage a lot of computers, it's just so great to be able to, you know, you get a phone call from somebody, hey, you know, I don't know how to do this. And you say, no problem, go to this URL. You open the application on your computer first. It shows you the URL and the special session ID. You tell them the URL, the session ID. It downloads on their computer in about 30 seconds. And then you can see their computer and do all that stuff. And when it's finished, all that stuff goes away on their end. So you don't have to worry about walking them through uninstalls or anything like that. It's very clean. It works very well, and I enjoy it and recommend it. Go to assist.com/Ally. Try Go to Assist Express for 30 days and support. We have communicators. Go to assist.com/Ally. And with that, let's see. Did we talk about the white iPhone not coming until the second half of July?
We have not.
Yeah.
Was that info out last week?
I don't think so, but
it would not a date. We knew last week that it wasn't coming.
Yeah, and so now I don't know what to think about that. I'm hoping that, you know, in my land of unicorns and happy thoughts, that they're going to make something that's a little bit more attractive than that grill on the front for the proximity sensor.
I find it interesting that the official word from Apple was that they've proven more difficult to manufacture.
Right.
Like to make. Like, so what is, and I the rumor mill, you know, has lots of theories. The one I tend to probably believe, because they've had issues with white plastics in the past, is discoloration of the plastic. Either that, or I'm wondering, because it's so glossy and laminated, if it's an assembly problem, because white would really show any dust or particles that might get in there as they're assembling the things.
Hmm.
Either that or the sensor thing, like we talked about last time, is that there's some issue with the this, you know, having to put that grill or get the proximity sensors to work, which, like I said, on my black one, there's already an issue with the proximity sensor even with that. So I would imagine it could be even more difficult with the white material.
You know, it's interesting that do you guys remember that story that Apple was planning two different phones? So there was the iPhone 4 and then the backup next generation iPhone that was more similar to the 3GS that didn't have as many changes in case there were issues. I'm beginning to think that that is pretty credible.
I'm thinking that's fakety fake, 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 fake.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, why would Apple invest all the resources necessary to design two versions of the next phone?
That's true. I do agree with you on that. Why would they even bother releasing a phone if it's not significantly different?
Right, because they're not in a position where they have to make a phone come out in July. It just so happens that's what they've done. There's no law that says they have to do that. So they could do whatever they want.
True.
And, yeah.
Well, so that's what I'm that's one of the things I'm waiting on. I'm waiting for, it seems like the screen issue is a non-issue. The antenna thing, I'd still like to see what the end of that is, because people are making enough noise that Apple is going to have an official solution of some sort. And I'm also waiting for a good case, and I'm waiting to see the white iPhone to see what it looks like, to try to decide if I want to get that.
Yep. You know, I think I've started to tell people, because, you know, a lot of people are asking me, should I upgrade? Should I not upgrade? And my general thing is, you know what, if you don't have to be an early adopter, if you're not the type of personality like I am where you have to have the latest and greatest thing, and you can wait a couple months. In 2 months, you're going to be able to walk into an Apple store. You're going to be able to just buy one right off the shelf. You're not going to have to worry about lines or crowds or availability. And a lot of these little minor issues that us early adopters deal with are all going to be resolved. Apple will have patched software updates. They'll have, like you said, more cases available. If you're not in a rush to get a new phone and you don't have to have the latest and greatest, there's not a whole lot in there that says you have to have it today.
Yeah.
Overall, though, the package, it is, for me, I think it's a huge update for even from my 3GS in terms of the screen, the camera. I mean, we haven't even talked about the camera yet.
Yeah, go for it.
So
talk about the camera. What do you think?
Awesome.
It's really nice.
I'm really happy that the reports are coming out now because, you know, everybody had been, before the phone came out, said, oh, well, Apple's still behind. It's only 5 megapixels. It's not 8. And it's really fun to see the head-to-head with the Evo and even the new Droid X in terms of the camera and people going, you know what? It's not all about the megapixels.
Finally, people are getting it. So yeah. Thank you, Apple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I saw some comparative photos. Someone took a picture in maybe like a dark living room, took the photo on his 3GS. It was almost completely black. Then took one on the 4 without a flash, and you could very easily make out what was in that room. And then he did the flash, and it's just like wonderful.
Yeah. I think people need to set expectations, though, too. It's still a cell phone camera.
Yeah, this is not a DSLR.
Well, it's not even a point and shoot. You know, your 5-megapixel point and shoot is going to take better pictures than your iPhone, no matter what. I don't care what kind of technology. It comes down to sensors and lenses and all those things. But is this a perfectly capable phone if you don't want to carry a second, you know, camera phone and you're willing to accept that there's going to be a little bit of noise that you might have to retouch in some photos after the fact? Then, yeah. Because like even bright sunlight photos, if you really zoom in at 100% and really look in certain areas, you're going to notice the little bit of noise that is introduced just because of the technology that's being used.
Right.
Yeah. But for a lot of people, this will suffice for lot of what they need to do. And actually, I think I fall in that category, even coming out of the graphic design world. A lot of the photos that I take, this will be more than sufficient. And then for the other photos, I'm actually still going to be using my little Nikon Coolpix 10-megapixel point-and-shoot camera.
Right.
And that'll handle everything else I need. So that means that the majority of the things that I go do where I otherwise would have had my little point-and-shoot in my pocket, I'll be okay with just my iPhone.
I'm surprised too at how good the front facing camera is. Like even flipping it around and snapping some of those. I did a video that I completely shot and edited and uploaded on the iPhone, a YouTube, and I did the opening portion with the front facing camera and it looks great.
Yeah, I did a slight bit of FaceTime at the Apple store and I was very impressed with how good that looked. I was shocked actually. I thought, oh man, this is going to look terrible coming from like, you know, shooting up my nose. I thought it would look just terrible, and it looks great. It actually,
it's because
I would
you have
do
a
it.
Nice nose.
Oh, thank you. But I also think it's the lighting in the Apple store. They have that special reality distortion field that they add into the light. But I thought it was cool that you can actually turn portrait to landscape and get a wider angle on that camera, so you can like fit your friends in if you want.
Oh. Can I point out something that I just found on the video yesterday?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this. Maybe I'm just an idiot, but I didn't notice this. But so I was shooting landscape video, and it was filling full frame. And I was doing something on the phone, and I accidentally double-tapped when I was shooting video. And it zoomed out, and I kind of got the black bars at the top and bottom. And I think what it was doing was changing to a true, like, I think 16:9. I haven't tested it yet.
Yeah, I think
it
does
do
that.
You can do a zoomed in sort of whatever aspect ratio the phone is, or you can kind of pull out and do more of a cinema 16:9 kind of aspect ratio when you're shooting video.
Did you figure out if
that's cool?
If it changes the actual image when you do that, or is it just what you see on the screen?
That's what I haven't been able to verify yet.
Okay.
I think it looked like it was shooting differently. I have to pull the video over and check it on my Mac, and I literally just discovered that like It might even have been this morning. I think it was this morning, actually. So I haven't transferred the video over yet. But I need to look more into that feature.
Cool. So any other features we want to talk about?
FaceTime.
Oh, yeah, FaceTime. Have you done any FaceTime calls yet?
I've done two. One to the UK and one just here in California. And, you know, I have to eat my word. Well, eat my words a little bit in terms of maybe discounting the technology for how impressive it is and more discounting it for how different an experience it is. What I guess I didn't realize is I figured, well, this is just going to be iChat, but on my iPhone. And from a purely mechanics standpoint, yeah, it is in a lot of ways. But what I sort of discounted, and I forget which reviewer pointed this out, but I was reading a reviewer and they pointed out that the main difference with FaceTime on the iPhone and how it changes video chat is because it's mobile, you're going to have this device on you and you can share kind of these personal experiences where you wouldn't pick up your laptop and open up iChat and go, hey, check out this wedding or this really cool sunset I'm seeing at the beach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? FaceTime gives you the opportunity. Well, beaches maybe not be a good example because of the Wi-Fi thing, but
yeah.
If they get that resolved, right? But you get the idea. If I'm at a hotel, maybe on a veranda, you know, and I'm in my hotel room and I'm overlooking this gorgeous sunset and I want to share it with somebody, hey, I can FaceTime them and be like, check this out and flip the camera around. And, you know, I'm not going to run in and pick up my laptop and say, hey, get on iChat and, you know, carry it over there. And that's probably not going to happen. So that experience is pretty amazing. I still maintain, though, that I don't think suddenly everybody's going to be doing video chat all the time. I don't think it's this realization of the Jetsons world or the Star Trek world where every call is a video chat. I still don't think we're there yet. But it is pretty impressive technology with how easy it is to initiate a call, and the overall quality of it is unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm impressed with the quality. I'm impressed with the technology. It works amazingly well. All that said, I'm still not that excited about FaceTime.
Right.
I just don't see it as something that I'm going to use, although I know Brian Chaffin really loves it. And so what he told me is he plans on every time he calls me, he's just going to use FaceTime. Which means I better keep my baseball cap near my desk, because if he calls me in the morning, there's a good chance I haven't combed my hair. So, you know, for some people, I can see where they're getting really excited about this because it adds a new level of interaction for the remote communication that they do with people, with friends, family, or whoever.
Right.
And for a lot of people, I think it's going to be kind of a gimmicky thing. But based on the response that Apple is getting to the FaceTime feature, I have a feeling ultimately I am going to be in the minority with the way I feel about FaceTime. And more people are just going to go absolutely crazy over this.
Yeah, I think, Adam, you brought up the fact that for travelers, this would be a real beneficial device. And for me, that's mm-hmm. a perfect example. But I need something on the receiving end so my wife or my daughter could watch it on a computer. Until they have that, I won't be able to really take advantage of it.
Yeah, they need to get that figured out. And along with that, I hope they make that button, that FaceTime button, device aware at some point. Because right now, it's every phone call you make shows FaceTime, whether or not the person on the other end is even capable of doing a FaceTime call.
Oh, that's right. Interesting. I figured it
or
would
whether
be
or not
smart
Wi-Fi
about it.
Is available.
Right, yeah, it's sort of always there, and it's like, okay, that from a UI standpoint is very not Apple-like.
I just assumed that Apple would smartly figure out whether there's FaceTime available and provide a hold button instead, but apparently
well, Jeff,
not.
Jeff pointed out the trick for that, right? I think I saw that over
yes.
on...
Yeah, I did a quick tip today at TMO. So the trick for being able to do hold on an iPhone 4, tap and hold the mute button for a few seconds, and then it puts the caller on hold. If you do a quick tap and release on the mute button, it mutes the call. So the mute button is a dual function button now, but you wouldn't know that unless you happen to listen to this show or if you read the quick tip I did today. So tap and hold the mute button to put a call on hold. Tap it again to release it. Or just a quick tap mutes the call.
Gotcha. Cool. All right. So let's see. Screenshots of pages and on the iPhone. Can I just say that again? Screenshots of pages on the iPhone and the iPod Touch. Oh my. 9 to 5 Mac, I think, had that.
Do we think this is real, or do you think this is the same kind of thing they did with hacking iMovie on a jailbroken phone?
I think it's real.
Why?
Okay, the thing that has me believing there might be some validity to what they were showing was that the UK Apple website or Apple web store, when you go to add extra accessories or whatever for your iPhone purchase, one of the options is AppleCare. And if you look at the description of what AppleCare includes, it says specifically that it includes support for iWork for the iPhone.
Interesting. Well, and if you look at so there were reports of people being able to use Pages. Was it anything besides Pages? Was it Keynote or anything, or just are people just doing Pages right now? I think there was a screenshot of Pages. Someone hacked Pages to run it on their 3GS. They said it worked perfectly. There were just some weird interface issues with the toolbar kind of wrapping around oddly because it's the Pages from an iPad.
Right.
But these screenshots on 9to5 look perfectly set up for an iPhone or an iPod Touch. And it also indicates that because it's not just on an iPhone 4, that it'll, that the screen will actually be small enough that it will work on iPod Touch and iPhone 3GS and probably 3G. Maybe not 3G. 3G is really slow.
Yeah. You know, the idea of using iWork on my iPhone is not appealing.
I would agree. Although it does make sense that Apple has decided to add that with the advent of iOS 4 because it includes Bluetooth keyboard support.
Yeah. Oh, well, and I think Keynote would be one of those killer features for business users. You know, to be able to output.
Even if it was just a Keynote playback.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, the ability to quickly, slide some, do some quick edits last minute, maybe throw in some different slides. If you could swap out in and out slides of, say, a library of slides, that would be a really neat feature to throw in there. So if I could grab, two from the back end of this presentation, or sort of have a library and just quickly assemble something that would be specific to a given situation and then run that whole thing from your iPhone, I could see that. And there's a lot of Office Suite apps for the iPhone that are very popular and actually surprisingly very, very usable. QuickOffice is one, and is it Office Squared Cubed?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, they do numbers and pages, and I mean, if that's the world you live in and you need to be able to do some quick edits, you're not going to do huge content creation on it, but I could see it for being a library of documents that maybe you need to append stuff to, or you need to do, find and replace if you have a bunch of boilerplate documents that you typically email PDFs to people and things like that. It could be very useful.
Yeah. Yeah. When I had a Pocket PC back in the day, they had Microsoft Word available for that. And there are rumors of Microsoft possibly working on Office 4 iOS now at this point. Seeing how Apple already has Pages and stuff in there, Microsoft still has the brand, and I think they could definitely lure in a lot of people. And they could potentially make something really good, too.
Potentially.
Well, they would have to do a lot of rewriting. Yeah.
Okay, to be fair, Microsoft has a lot of incredibly talented software engineers.
They do.
The problem is that they have a bunch of incredibly obstinate managers
that
don't get how things need to happen. So they're dictating what the software coders are doing. And I think that's where the problem comes in.
Yeah, I worry a little bit because we've had the Mac BU for a long, long time, and they're now changing it back what seems like to me the wrong way. You know, they sort of were this autonomous, developing great stuff for the Mac, and they were a bunch of Mac people, and didn't recently they kind of start pulling that back in?
I don't know.
They changed who's running that, or ultimately who is the big boss of the division, and mm-hmm. so they've been kind of, in that sense, reeled in to the rest of the Microsoft.
Yeah, Microsoft. And the best thing that happened was is they kind of, it was really bad, and then they formed the Mac BU, and it got really, really, you know, tons better. And I just hope the bureaucracy isn't more creeping back in to it, because I agree with you, Jeff. They have great, talented people and very passionate people in that division. But if you get a lot of bureaucracy over top of that, that's where things start to really go south.
Yeah, and ultimately, if it becomes bad enough, those talented developers will leave. And that's really bad. Because then we'll end up with Microsoft Office for the Mac version 5 again. Yeah, Barry gets that one.
Yeah.
All right. So I've been hearing reports from Twitter and other areas. I think jailbreaknews.com is where I've been getting this. Yeah, jailbreaknews.com. It's a really great site. The writing is almost great, but the information is wonderful. So if you're into jailbreak stuff, jailbreaknews.com is good. And they've been reporting that several of the key groups who work on, you know, jailbreaking the iPhone, it seems like this the same Spirit jailbreak that came out for the iPad and all that a month ago, I'm not sure, is will be working on the iPhone 4. And actually, there have been reports that it's already, they've already jailbroken it. They're just working on perfecting it now. So it may be a matter of days or just a week or two before we will see an iPhone 4 jailbreak. We may even see an iOS or a baseband unlock. And I've also heard that MIUI 4 has been, so it's a new version of MIUI, and it's been rewritten, and it works on iOS 4, and it'll do the same awesome stuff that it's doing right now on 3.1.3. So good news for me and people who care about jailbreak.
I'm still not jailbreaking.
Yeah, I didn't think you would.
I'll live vicariously through you.
That's okay. I enjoy my jailbreak. I love the pain that I get from crashes and stuff. Because outside of it, I get to tether to my iPad.
Okay, it doesn't kill you, only makes you stronger, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hulu announced, finally, that they have something pretty lame for the iPhone and the iPod and the iPad. It's called Hulu Plus, and it's currently in preview right now. So it's like a beta thing, and you have to sign up, and you have to get an invite code. But it is, they're calling it Hulu Plus, and you can get it for your iPhone, right? You have to have iOS 4, or if you have an iPad, 3.2 works. And so you have to pay $10 a month, and they give you access to back libraries of various shows and movies and stuff like that that we heard rumors of. But here's where it gets bad. It's also ad-supported. So you pay $10 a month, and you get ads.
Okay, I'm kind of torn on that.
I am too, but I'll let you go.
On one hand, I like the idea of if I'm paying for content, I shouldn't have to be subjugated to commercials. On the other hand, that's exactly how cable TV has been working for years and years and years, and I haven't started bitching about that. Well, occasionally I do, but... Yeah, so anyhow, I'm kind of torn.
Yeah, but you have TiVo and you can just jump over those ads.
Yep, that's a good point. I can jump over commercials with TiVo.
The ones you can't jump over.
Now, is it clear what the ultimate offering will be for Hulu Plus? Is it that you have to pay $10 a month in order to get Hulu on your iPad or your iPhone, and that you will be subjected to ads no matter what? Or is it a matter
of... That's my understanding, yes.
That's how I understand it too.
See, it would be much better if it was like $10 a month to get access to back catalog stuff, because, you know, fine, whatever, back catalog stuff. But otherwise, I don't see the difference between watching it on my computer or watching it on my iPad and seeing an ad.
Well, it's the back. It is the back catalog. I mean, that's huge. If you, I mean, most shows on Hulu, you get the episode that just aired this week and maybe the episode from the prior week.
No,
but if you can go back every season.
Yeah, the back season stuff, that's,
I mean,
totally great.
A DVD set of a season of a show is $30, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I agree, except that why can't I, outside of the back catalog stuff, why can't I watch the stuff that's already on Hulu.com on my iPad for free with the ads that I would otherwise watch? I think that
they don't get money for that.
Well, they get money from the ads.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they're just not getting
more money if they charge you.
Yeah, maybe they're just not getting enough money from. Yeah, it's. I don't know. I would be. I might actually start paying $10 a month for Hulu on my iPad when 30 Rock gets started up again.
Or you could just, you know, stick with your Netflix, get all the content that they have, and then just wait a season for the season to show up on.
See, the thing
Netflix,
is, I don't have any patience.
They block most of the Hulu shows. So,
oh, you can pull up. I think you can pull up 30 Rock on the iPad, right?
Do you on remember? Netflix?
Yeah,
yeah. And some shows they do, and some shows they don't. I think it has to do with the studio that produces the show, because you have the studio that produces the show, which can be totally different from the network that actually airs it, and it gets weird.
Yeah, all this stuff is weird. But the app is in the store. You can get it right now. Go to Hulu.com. There's a special URL for the preview.
Well, it's a preview. Yeah, you can sign up for an invite. It's invite only. So
Hulu.com.
Hulu/plus.
Yeah. Is it plus slash invite or is it just slash plus?
Just slash plus.
Yeah.
Hulu. And then there's a button to request the invite.
Yeah. Hulu.com.
If you download
plus.
The app off the App Store, there's a request an invite button right at the startup.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. So, yeah, just download the app in the App Store. And that is free in the App Store, and you can check out a preview of it. So there are several videos on there, including an hour-long from the wonderful Carl Sagan Cosmos TV series. There's the first episode there.
That's an awesome series.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I'm excited to – that's the next thing I'm planning to watch as soon as we're done
with this.
Wait,
so that's in the app already without having to sign up?
Yeah, episode one.
Oh, okay, cool.
So you can – that's a good thing to check it out with. And it says it's HD. Is it HD on the iPad?
I mean, would hope so. That would be cool.
They're quote-unquote HD. Or can you see? You can see 720p on the iPad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
720p-ish.
Yeah. So you can sign up for your invite and hope that you get in.
Hope they let you pay them $10 a
month. Yeah, exactly. Jeez. All right. What else? Oh, Adam, I really like the Twitter you put out a little bit before the show. Verizon, blah, 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 iPhone, blah, blah, January.
That was a click through. I wanted to figure out whose that was. I want to say it was from 9 to 5 Mac. They were like.
Yeah, 9 to 5.
Yeah, Verizon on the iPhone, whatever.
In January.
You know, sort of like. I'm done with Verizon on the iPhone.
Oh,
whatever.
I feel the same way, man.
I don't care how desperately people want it to be true. Wishing it isn't going to make it happen. And just saying, okay, well, it didn't happen this time. But really, next time, it's really going to happen. And then when that rolls around, they go, okay, so it wasn't this time, but really, really next time.
Yeah.
No, people, it's not going to fracking happen.
I'm not holding my breath anymore. Unless I'm swimming.
Call me when they issue the press release, and then we'll talk about it. This is where I'm at with it at this point.
I feel the same way.
I think that's what it said. It's a Verizon on the iPhone. I'm done. And that was the whole post.
Yep.
Yeah. And that pretty much sums it up. You know, another Verizon, blah, 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 rumor, blah, blah, iPhone. Oh, hey, Sparkledy, let's go play.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So any other thoughts on iOS 4 or iPhone 4 before we get to our phone calls?
Oh, we have phone calls?
Yeah, we do.
Yay!
Let's
do those.
Yeah, first phone call is from Tim Jackson, and hopefully it's set up correctly. And here we go.
Hi, this is Tim Chatton of the iPad Apocalypse Podcast at TPN.TV. And I wanted to send in a comment about the web apps that are now stored on your iDevices. And another great one that I'm not sure if you've heard of is Voice Central by Black Swan at voicecentral.riverturn.com. And what it is, I've been using it for many months now, and it's basically a Google Voice app for your iPod Touch or iPhone. It downloads everything natively to the device, so it's not going to some website, HTML Magic and all that great stuff, and it is just a fantastic app that kind of bypasses that App Store restriction. And if you want Google Voice, that's a great app to do it. So love the show, and thanks again. Bye.
I think you said Tim Chatton. I couldn't really tell from the...
Yes, that's right.
Tim Chatton. Yeah, so thanks a bunch for that. I checked it out. It is cool. It's another one of those apps that you send to your home screen, and then it just downloads all the necessary stuff, and for the most part, it works just like a native app. Now, there are some weird things about how this app works as opposed to a native application. Now, I'm not sure if that's just because that's how they coded it, or, you know, maybe Apple doesn't provide enough. But for the most part, it's just... I just love the idea of these web apps being able to just be stored on your phone.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Voice Central was one of the early developers that got booted in that whole purging when Apple purged the Google Voice stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yep.
So they went this route, and I think it's been pretty successful for them.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. Okay, now, thanks, Tim. Vinny from New Jersey, I believe this is his call.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say thanks for making the podcast and making it entertaining. I really appreciate it. Very informative. I often find myself referring back to it often for different tips, tricks, and such. So this is Vinny from New Jersey, of course, and I just wanted to say thanks again. So thanks to you for Michael, you, Jeff, and Adam. So thanks a lot, man. All right, bye-bye.
And thank you, Vinny, for calling
in.
Nice. It's fantastic to hear that.
You're welcome.
I now have a little warm spot in my heart for Vinny.
Aww.
You rock.
let's see. I have another one from Stephen Miller. And let's see, I didn't hijack him. Let me see if we can get QuickTime Player hijacked here.
Hey, guys, it's Steve. I just want to mention something that I saw during the WWDC keynote when Steve Jobs was... demoing the FaceTime call when he was on the call, and he said that we're actually kind of like in the Jetsons now, where we have communicators now, and said something to the effect of communicators, and I thought that was really funny because I listen to you guys all the time, and I really thought of you guys when he said that, and thought you might want to mention that in your show sometime, that Steve Jobs said we have communicators, so listen to the podcast. All right, take care, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. That was I went back and checked it out. He didn't exactly say we have communicators, but he definitely said.
But that's what he meant.
That's what he meant. Yeah,
in spirit, he did.
Yep. And Ken Ellis also sent in a video from his a little sample. Video of his fish in an aquarium. So thanks, guys. So if you want to send in any feedback, you can send that to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. You can email either, you know, text, but we prefer the audio because we can play it. So if you want to record on your iPhone or iPod Touch, record it, send it to the email address, feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. But we also have the Google Voice line, and you can call that too, 202-642-6667. 202-642-6667. And yeah, just put that in your address book and save it for later. So you can call in when you have something cool to say. And with that, we're going to talk about our iPhone picks. Jeff, what do you have this week?
Oh, crap. iPhone picks. Hold on.
We can have Adam go or Barry go.
Well, I forgot to unlock my iPhone. And, so I have to flip back to the right page because I was drawing for you earlier, so I'm on the wrong page. Okay. I remember now. Have we talked about Battleship yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, let's talk about Battleship. That's my pick for this week. I'm going with a game this time. And it's a fun little game that it's Battleship. And you can play against the computer. Or if there's other people around that have the Battleship game, you can play against each other over Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. And it's just a lot of fun. And so for people that grew up with the Battleship game, which I can't remember, it's Milton or Parker Brothers, one of those. Anyhow, it's just a lot of fun, and it has fun little graphics, and you can sync your friends' battleships, and it's just a cool, fun little diversion. And every place that I've gone where someone else has the Battleship game, everyone just gets so excited. And oh my God, you have Battleship, let's play. And you play a quick game with someone, and they sync my ships, and away we go.
Cool. It's $2.99.
Oh, and that's even less than I thought it was. I thought it was like $5.
And to answer your question, it's Hasbro.
Oh, it's Hasbro. Okay.
Yep. Adam, what is your pick?
All right. Well, okay. I can do one of two picks. Is anybody going to pick iMovie?
No.
I intentionally didn't pick iMovie because I had a feeling you were going to.
Well, I can pick iMovie, or I have another one, but I'll do iMovie if nobody else is going to do iMovie, because I am very impressed with iMovie on the iPhone.
Sure.
I actually need to give some credit to Dave, who is in the UK and does the Geekanoids videos, the geekanoids.co.uk, I believe is his URL, because he was one of the first people I did a FaceTime chat with, and he had already tried iPhone, and he sent me his sample video, or a link to his sample video on YouTube. And he got me to try it out. And so I downloaded it. I went over to the local brewery near me and shot some video and just said, you know, is it really possible to shoot, edit, and completely upload video just from the iPhone? And it very much was. I mean, it was a really easy process. It took me a little while to figure out the interface, but now that they're kind of over the learning curve, I would say I could do it pretty easily. And I didn't think it would really be possible. The themes that are built in are pretty nice. It's definitely limited, which I think is actually one of the benefits of it, is that they don't give you a ton of stuff that you have to wade through. I think the simplicity is what kind of makes it work. So you can grab clips, photos or videos out of the camera roll, and you can quickly trim and edit them and throw them into a timeline, add simple transitions, do titles. And it all just works. About the only thing I noticed was as I kind of got more and more clips in, it did tend to slow down a little bit. So even on the iPhone 4 with the more RAM and the processor, you can definitely tell that it's pretty much eking the limits of that device, at least with the high def video that it's shooting. The only other downside that I really found was that if you upload directly from the iPhone, it will only upload at 360p. To YouTube or gallery. You can't do the full 20p upload from the phone. It kind of reses everything down.
Even over Wi-Fi?
Even over Wi-Fi. Yeah. So if you want to publish a 720p, you actually have to sync it back to your iPhoto and then upload from directly from iPhoto or directly from your Mac. So I think that's a limitation, because when you go to pick the options, it gives you you know, in terms of sharing it, you can share via email, via MMS, via YouTube, or Mobile Me Gallery. And I think it just does one resolution for all of those applications. So it kind of splits the difference between, oh, if you're going to MMS this thing, it needs to be smaller. Or if you're going to email it, it needs to be smaller. So I don't know if they'll change that eventually, but it works great. And it's $5. So a lot of people have asked me, is it worth grabbing? And I think if you're into video at all, if you want to play with video on the iPhone and you want to jazz things up rather than just, you know, send a clip that you trim the beginning and end, it's worth $5. I mean, it's definitely, for a $5 app, it's unbelievable.
I'll agree with you on that. It's totally worth the $5.
Cool. So is that the sale price, or is it going to stay $5? I thought it was 10.
It's just $5.
Awesome.
$4.99. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably get it as soon as I start playing with my iPhone 4 when I get that.
Yeah, I mean, am I going to use it a lot? Probably not. But for the few times that I will use it, it's fun to just sit there and be able to, you know, at least you can clip out a couple clips and send it to somebody rather than having to send them these raw, sort of unedited ones that are going to be boring to watch.
Right, yeah.
So
cool. iMovie, $4. Oh, $5. Barry, it's your turn to do a pick. What do you have for us this week?
I picked a travel app, and hopefully you haven't brought this one up before, which is Flight Track or Flight Track Pro. You guys brought that one up before?
I don't think so.
Yeah, this one's really neat because you can track any flight, but obviously you'd normally want to track your own or somebody else's flight. And it puts the flight path from the departure airport to the arriving airport, and then I think it's Google Maps it uses underneath. So it's really cool to see because you'll see the plane go across as it's flying, but you also get the weather, you get information about delays. What's nice is that you don't actually have to type it in. If you have an itinerary received via email, you can forward it to TripIt.com, and it automatically sucks out all that information for you, synchronizes it right into the application, and then all the information is available for you. What's even better is that it'll use push notification to provide you alerts on any delays, any weather alerts, and it really makes it really handy for anybody who travels on a fairly regular basis like I do. But I even got to take advantage of it with my family traveling this week because they were getting out of O'Hare and they were being delayed, and I got the updates on their delays before they did. Even though they were on the plane just sitting at the gate waiting to leave, I was able to text my wife and tell her, by the way, you're going to be delayed another 30 minutes. So it's been a great app. It paid for itself just from that information alone. I think it's $4.99 in the App Store, and it is a universal app.
Yeah, there are two versions, actually. There's the Flight Track and Flight Track Pro. Do you know the difference between the two?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, one is $5 and one is $10. And they're both
universal.
So it's
about $5. That's the difference.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They're both universal apps, so they both work on your iPhone and your iPad. So, and it's really cool on the iPad because it's just like having a...
It looks really sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a Jack Bauer thing or something. So, yeah. Flight Track Pro, or are we going with Flight Track? Both of them.
Both of them.
Yeah. Both of them. Flight Track is a great app. They make good stuff. All right. So, my pick, you guys can probably guess what my pick is, but it's MobileMe. Oh, my goodness.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah. So it's, if you don't know what MobileMe is, it's a service offered by Apple that allows you to sync your contacts, your bookmarks, and calendar events wirelessly. So if you have a Mac or PC, if you have a PC, will it sync all that stuff too?
Yes, your Outlook stuff.
Okay, yeah. The greatest benefit until like 2 days ago to me was the fact that whenever you update a contact or calendar event or bookmark on your phone or on your Mac, it's just almost instantly synced between all the different devices, so you can have all your iPhone, your iPod Touch, your iPad, and your Mac all in sync, and it's just, that is just magic right there. It also allows you, are they calling it iDisk now? They're calling it MeDisk or just...
iDisk.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. iDisk. So it's just a certain amount of storage that you get. Is it 5 gigs? I think
it's 10 gigs.
Yeah. 10 gigs. Yeah.
It's a bunch of gigs.
So you get a ton of space that you'll probably never use, but it allows you to... sync with various Mac applications. So, for example, I have OmniFocus syncing through MobileMe. And so that means that I can just, you know, whenever my computer syncs OmniFocus stuff, open it up on my iPhone, sync, done, we're good, have all that stuff.
You can put documents up there too, and they have an iPhone app that's free.
Yeah, yep, the
iDisk. Where you can access your documents, so your PDFs, your Word documents, and you can open up all those on your iPhone.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And you can also share files from that point. There's even with that iDisk application, you can take a file that's already on your iDisk and set it up to share and just send an email saying, hey, this is available for you to check out. And I think you can even put a password on there. It also includes push email. So if you're looking for a new email provider, you can get a .me or a me.com address if you want. I don't really use the email. From there, I just like the services, but most importantly, and you know, obvious to why I'm picking it, is that it has the Find My iPhone service, which is just so cool. So before the app came out, you could go, it still works this way. You can go to your computer, bring up me.com, sign in, and see where your iPhone is. Now, if you do sign up for MobileMe and you add MobileMe to your iPhone, you do have to turn on Find My iPhone. It turns mail, contacts, calendars, and bookmarks on by default. Just switch the Find My iPhone thing to on and you're good to go. And what that allows you to do is you can track your phone. You can see it with a hybrid map on Google Maps if you want. It's, you know, it works with Google Maps, so it just says your iPhone's here, and it uses the you know, all the same location services that you have on your iPhone, you know, the Skyhook you know, Wi-Fi stuff, the cell towers, and GPS if you have it on there. So it'll actually work on your iPad too, so you can track your iPad if it's lost. You can remotely lock it. So if you like I did, I don't usually lock my phone, but I figured if someone finds it, I want find my iPhone to continue working. So if someone knows what's up, they can't go in there and turn it off. So you can send a remote lock. You can also send remote messages. So if someone finds it, you can say, hey, return it here or call this person. And if you lose it in your house or something like that, something less sinister than having it stolen, then you can have it actually play a message for 2 minutes. Even if it's on mute, it will play full blast. So you can hopefully find it in your house, wherever it's, you know, stuffed between the cushions or something like that. You can also use it to remotely wipe your iPhone. So if you've given up all hope that you're going to recover your iPhone, you can send a remote wipe and then they won't have access to your information. And yeah, it's just, it's so great. I found my iPhone. I got it back. So it's great. So, and there are discounts. If you go through Amazon, I think you can get some discounts grabbing MobileMe. I have some friends who work at the Apple campus, so I get like 50% off. But yeah, look around for some deals. You can find it on Amazon or what have you. But otherwise, it's $100 a year. And, you know, when you lose your iPhone, it totally pays for itself. Even if I hadn't lost my iPhone ever, I still enjoy the syncing features quite a bit. So yeah, that's my pick. And oh, you can go to me.com. Is it me.com to get it, or is it apple.com/mobileme?
You can get it from me.com.
Yeah, me.com.
Yep, me.com. You can go to the Apple store and pick up a box, but you can just, you know. Actually, there's a 60-day free trial, so, you know, just get it. Try it out. It's awesome. All right, and with that, it's the end of the show.
Oh, wait, I forgot. I was going to tell people I'm going to pimp my new online store.
Okay, well, we'll pimp that with, when we mention your other sites. So you can check out.
Okay.
Go to assist at gotoassist.com/Allie, free 30-day trial. Do it. Support the We Have Communicators podcast. It's an awesome service. You'll love it. gotoassist.com/Allie. You can check out the show notes as well as our iPhone picks and the wonderful drawings from Mr. Jeff Gamet at what's the URL? wehavecommunicators.com. Which still forwards you to iPhone Alley. I'm working on it. There was a little bit of a mishap with iPhone Alley and the information there, but we have it mostly working, and I'll be able to transport stuff to the new URL. But type in wehavecommunicators.com, bookmark that. That'll get you to the right spot. And you can send your feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. Adam Christensen's at the Mattcast, mattcast.com, and twitter.com/mattcast. And if you want to get the premium edition of the Mattcast, where is that, Adam?
Member.mattcast.com.
Yep, member.mattcast.com. Check it out. Thank you for being here, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, and the iPod Observer, and Design Tools Weekly, and twitter.com/jgamet, and this new thing.
Oh, right, which ties into the drawings.
Yes.
So the deal is, I've gotten a lot of questions from people asking where they can get the drawings that I've been doing. So I took the hint and I opened up a Cafe Press store and a Zazzle store so that people can go and get t-shirts or hats or mugs or whatever they want. And so it's cafepress.com/jgamet or zazzle.com/jgamet. And so, several of the drawings that I've done during the podcasts are on shirts and hats and whatever. And I'll be adding more over time. So there you go. So for everyone that's been hunting for that stuff, I took the hint. Now you can get it. And also on the drawings things, Michael, I think you'll appreciate the drawing that I did today.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's in honor of your iPhone adventure.
Oh, cool. Did you already send it to me?
I did.
All right. I'm going to check it out while Barry, you can check out Barry Fulk, twitter.com/Fulk, B-F-U-L-K-B. Thank you for sitting in with us, Barry.
Thank you for having me.
And is there anything else you want to pimp? Any websites or anything like that?
Occasionally I hang out at For Mac Eyes Only, and that's another podcast. And then also wanted to thank Adam for his premium podcast. I think that has been excellent, and I really am enjoying that.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice.
Cool. All right. Thanks for being here, Barry. You can find my Twitter, twitter.com/MichaelJohnston, if you want. I don't really talk about the iPhone, so be prepared for...
Oh, you talk about it when it gets stolen.
Well, that's true, yeah. But that only happens once, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yep. And with that, we're done. That's we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators. I totally forgot Stephen about Wright. Steve Miller.
Are you too young to understand the Stephen Wright reference, Michael?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, you know, I got some powdered water. Just I don't know what to add.
I bought some
Why are there locks on 7-Eleven stores if they're open 24 hours a day? So
what are we going to do? I bought some used paint. It came in the shape of a house.
No, we can just do this. We can just tell random jokes.
Well, that's all Stephen Wright material. You gotta check out some of his stuff. He's guy's hilarious.
We all tried to do our best Stephen Wright impression too.
It was all good.
Barry's was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Barry, yours was great.
Thanks.
Okay.
Oh, thanks.
You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus.